Welcome to the Bangers List podcast, where every episode has a name, but the content is just as much of a surprise to us as it is to the listeners. Me with Julian and Daniel again.
Hey, man.
This week,
We have a habit of talking. We've got to just have you go first.
No, it's okay. We'll be answering the same question with the same answer, just worded differently. It'll just happen over the top.
We got to get the same response.
Yeah,
exact same. Yeah, same response.
It's very bad podcast etiquette.
Fucking top start. Joel thought of this really great intro, and then we've just completely fucked it. Right, what's on the menu today, Joel?
So this week, we're moving into uncharted territory almost, aren't we? It's a song called Transtead Kingdom by a band called Bloodstained Child. It's a bit weird. We'll just jump into the sample and then we'll try and figure it out after that. All right. So it's like you're in a heavy metal club for some reason. You're in a dance club.
Yeah.
And they're playing heavy metal music at the same time as the dance music, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kinda.
I don't sound like an asshole, but it did make me think a little bit of like watching people play DDR, like Dance Dance Revolution, on like insane volume, like of the insane difficulty. So their feet are just like all around the thing. And it's just like the crazy shit that they play on, like the music, because some of the synthy stuff in this song just sounds like that. Yeah.
So it's this song, obviously, as you can tell from the sample, there's a lot of keyboard and sounds in it, right? Which really drives the song.
It starts off with blast beats.
Yeah, very cool.
It has a breakdown in a minute. It has clean vocals. It has auto tune.
Heavy auto tune.
Has unclean vocals as well. Yeah.
Screamo.
Scream.
But look, first things first, we'll play a game. First game on the podcast. So obviously the band's name is Bloodstained Child. They've been around for 2,000 years. But you know how when you talk in English, what did I say? They've been around for 2,000 years.
They're as old as their culture. I was trying
not to laugh because I wanted
that to just be in the podcast. Like, I didn't want that to get edited out. Jesus.
That's my back. Don't make me laugh so
hard. Okay, Daniel's fucked his back as well.
So he can't talk.
He was helping Colin, our sound guy, build a log cabin. He's lifted up quite a large log and he's done his back in. So that's why Colin's not here. He's out there doing it by himself.
Sorry, Colin. Sorry to let you down, man.
Finishing off the cabin. Lifting the logs on his own.
It's just like Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec. He just has his log cabin that nobody knows about. So when the world ends, he can just go there. Yeah.
Fuck. Anyway, so obviously the band isn't quite 2,000 years old. They've been around since about 2,000, so it's an 18-year kind of thing. And obviously they would have named... Well, they had some issues at the start, but they named themselves Bloodstained Child. And like I was going to say, you know, sometimes in translation, words can get lost. Like someone gets an earth tattoo in Japanese symbols and it actually says dirt or something.
Yeah.
What could these guys have maybe named themselves to not seem so kind of scary to people? Maybe they were meant to say like Children of Blood or something. Do you have any other ideas what they could have been called to not be so egregious?
All I can think of is a band that's like them called Maximum the Hormone. Like, that doesn't fucking make any sense either. Like, what the fuck? All right, Bloodstained Child, like I've actually mentioned this on this show before. I Killed the Prom Queen from Adelaide, right? Like, their original name was Child Left Burning.
Mm.
Like, that's a pretty fucking visceral,
That's brutal.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's a very visceral sort of, like, mental image. So, I don't know why I brought that up, but fuck, I have no idea what this is. I didn't mean to point that. I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah,
what could you possibly garner from that other than, like, children stained with blood or I don't know.
Yeah, it's an interesting name for a band and they're obviously from Japan, so maybe to them might mean something different. I don't know.
Who knows?
And they weren't marketed very well to Western culture, I guess. You know, I just happened to come across them when I was going down like this trance core rabbit hole for some reason.
And did you find these guys on YouTube? Did you fall in a rabbit
hole? I think it was a Spotify kind of thing. I was going through a couple of bands. I probably started with bands like Nightwish.
What else is in it? They were originally called Vision Quest.
Yeah, but pre-2000.
That's like pretty edgy as well. I don't know. Yeah. I think Bloodstained Child.
Yeah, that's actually cool. Vision Quest is like we're on a quest to find the truth or something.
Yeah.
But whatever happened, and now they're just Bloodstained Child.
Yeah.
Cool. That's great. Yeah, so like I said, I was listening to bands like Nightwish, Amaranth, probably some Cascada in there if anyone knows her. She's like just dance like a bunch music.
Edgy, like Euro metal bands.
Yeah, and they are. And then I came across this and put this song on the playlist because I don't know. I feel like you need to hear it to see what's going on in the. There's a Japanese metal scene, which I think.
Massively.
It's big. A lot of bands.
It is a whole different world over there in Asia that, like, the Western world just doesn't fucking know about. At all.
Mm.
I've actually known about these guys for probably 15 years. There was one of their first records called Idolater. Well, I think they had like a different lineup and a different singer and stuff. There was a couple of songs in that. That was a bit more straight up like metal, but not metal that we're used to in a way. Like it's, I don't know. They just do metal differently over there somehow. It sounds really good though.
I like this. Yeah. I enjoy this. A lot of similarities to bands you do like.
Yeah.
With some of their own twists and flavors here. And, well, should we talk about the big thing in this song that no one can figure out?
The lyrics.
Oh, my God. Okay.
How long did you try to figure out the lyrics for, do you reckon?
Define try, I mean.
So, first thing you do, obviously, when you're doing, like, low-tier research, like, where you look at Google and then, like, your YouTube lyric videos, but for this song, there's nothing.
I couldn't find anything, no.
But then I know China has different types of websites, and maybe there's, like, a different kind of Japanese website in Japanese language that would have had the lyrics on it, but I just can't find it anywhere in English. I've translated a few sites having a look, can't find anything, so the lyrics to me are absolutely unknown. I don't know what this song is about. Maybe it's about having a huge party and metal music. I don't know. But the only lyrics we could figure out were the heavily auto-tuned part, which says, "You lead everything, unknown the weakness, end." What the fuck does that mean?
I didn't even think that's what it meant. I thought it said, "You will be happy." I've no idea what he's saying.
I thought it said, "You will defend me." And so it's like, wow.
Interesting. Well, where do you get this from?
It's on the actual official video clip for the song on YouTube. It pops up and says this.
In subtitle?
Yeah, it just pops up over the screen. So.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, it's probably that translation barrier as well. Like in the Japanese language, probably. That sentence probably flows a little bit more.
Yeah,
probably. I would imagine.
English is a very hard language to do anything in, unless it's your native language.
It's just a language if you think about it.
Yeah, look.
We'll save that for another podcast.
It's consistently inconsistent. Yeah. This isn't really a history podcast. Oh, wait. Yes, it basically is.
Well, I just wanted to point out as well, because a lot of bands from non-English first language countries will often use their mother tongue for their lyrics. Yeah, like, I rate that.
In some cases.
Yeah, I rate that.
And I really like accents when they try and sing in English or their native tongues.
Well,
I like
some accents the, come the Americanized accent is just the go-to for vocals these days, isn't it?
It is. For really clean vocals, even yeah. if you're an Australian singer, I think if a lot of UK singers probably pull it out as well. Yeah. It's the pronunciation of the vowels which make it sound clearly American.
Yeah.
So
there are a few sort of notable examples that I can think of. The Getaway Plan, Matthew Wright, the singer from that, he has a long history of singing everything in his Australian accent, which is really cool. And like a lot of stuff from Bring Me later on, they you can definitely tell there was the Architects had a very pronounced English accent in there too. So that was sort of, it's good to see people not conforming. Like, I have no problem with, like, the American accent, but it's good to see people not conforming to it.
But I feel like this band, they kind of, as much as I said, their sound is kind of unique because of the keyboard, some of their elements are quite westernized for that market, I feel, because the similarities of playing, you know, heavy metal riffs and having certain drum beats, which are staples of the westernized music. So they've studied metal music and they have a lot of similarities, so.
Yeah.
And weird. It's still weird. The whole band is, it's all weird to me.
Structurally, it doesn't make a lot of sense either, because it starts off with these blast beats and then goes into this sort of like, I don't know, like metal, sort of almost like mellow death verse. And he's like alternating between the really fast double bass and the D beat. And then it stops and there's that like really hectic trance sort of build up section. And then it goes into the chorus.
Yeah, so the interlude kind of thing. Yeah,
and it just has this sort of trancey stuff all throughout. Now, like, people putting trance music in metal is, like, nothing new at all, but it makes the song flow weird. I think it flows. It's not jarring, but it's just, you know what I mean? I'm waving my arms around here. You just can't.
It is.
It's comfortable, but it's still a little bit, ooh, fuck. It's like riding a roller coaster with your eyes shut. You're constantly moving, but you got fuck all idea what's coming, yeah.
It is a keyboard player, obviously. This song is from 2017, you know, because this list, the bangers list, has been around for a long time. And the person that's playing the keyboard in this song and through a lot of their catalog has left. So they don't even really have that sound anymore, which is a shame. But because I thought it was it's one of their main characteristics. It's the band is got lots of like the keys and the trance feel to it and the dance vibes. So
yeah.
Anyway, and they're a 5-piece now. And sometimes this song, they sound like there's so much going on. Maybe it's like a 10-piece.
Yeah, you'd think it does have that kind of sound. It seems like there's a lot more going on. Perhaps there's some layering in the
It definitely is.
Recording. There'd be some dubs in there for sure, I'd say.
In this chorus, they actually have 2 backup vocalists and the screams for the chorus. So yeah. It's 3 tracks right there at least.
Well, because there's the clean vocals, the unclean, but then who's doing the auto-tune as well?
Oh, who knows?
That's my point. Are there 3 people singing or 1 or 2? Because, like, if you were their sound tech, you'd be, like, frantically flipping the switches, like, on and off auto-tune, stuff like that.
All right, shit. In the video, it's like the lead singer does the auto-tune and there's just the 2 backup vocalists.
Yeah, okay.
Doing bits and pieces.
Here. 2 guitars?
Yes.
So 2 guitars, keys.
Drums.
Drums, vocals.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And it's been a lot of different members have come through this band. By the looks of it, they've had female singers for a couple of years here and there, which have made some of their best music, and now they've got another male singer. The only member that's been in the band the whole time is a young guy called Ryu. He looks young. He's at least 18 years old because he's been there since 2000. And he's a very effeminate-looking man. I saw a couple of their film clips and some live stuff, and there's someone dancing around with a skirt on.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, they've got a lead guitarist. It's a female. Awesome. This is cool. No, it's just a guy that wears skirts around because fashion in Japan is very open to interpretation, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's his own style. It's jarring to me, but fuck, he can play some guitar. Some of the riffs of the song are amazing. It's
Yeah, who cares what you wear if you write crunchy riffs?
Yeah, crunchy riffs.
Fuck. I can't believe I just said that. I went on expletive laden rant about Triple J the other day because I'm going to call them out as well because we haven't called enough people out. I got so fucked off. They were premiering a new song from a band that I really like the other night, and my girlfriend and I were in the car driving to our friend's house for dinner, and I said to her, if I hear the word fucking, like the word vibes more than once before they play the song, I'm going to message the guys from the band on Instagram and be like, sorry, guys, I couldn't listen to your song. Triple J's fucking cancer. In 10 minutes, including 3 songs that weren't the one that I wanted to hear, I heard the word vibes 4 times.
Hey, you can't make good content without saying vibes. No. How are the vibes in here, boys? Good vibes on this podcast?
I feel like I say vibes a fair bit in these pods.
So. Oh, just, yeah, fuck Triple J. They're just shit.
Non-commercial radio in Australia. Yeah. It really pisses you off.
Yeah.
That band was Polaris, by the way.
We've already done an episode of them.
We're not talking about them.
No.
So, like, back to this song. Are we going to call it Japanese heavy metal and electronical?
Electronical.
Have I coined that? No.
No, no, no.
Electronical.
No, you think about bands like I See Stars.
Yep.
Have a similar feel to them.
I was going to say that they're similar bands, but you've taken the words right out of my mouth.
Fuck.
Must have been when you were...
Thank you, Meatloaf.
That's it. Like, fuck, where do you go from here? It's a good song. You got to hear it, eh?
I guess because they're a band that we don't listen to a lot, and it's not like that's sorry. The style is something that none of us can say we listen to. The closest I would come would be I See Stars. I have a very, very small threshold when it comes to lots and lots of trancy shit in music. Even though I like Asking Alexandria, it's still like a measured amount, I guess, and they've sort of stopped using it later on in their career.
And another, look, since we're doing the bands that sound similar right now, for me, years and years ago, it would have been a band like Children of Bodom, which have a lot of emphasis on the keyboard as well.
Yeah.
And a lot of intense, fast riffs throughout the songs, but still being carried by your keyboard as well and the sounds that it is making.
Yeah.
So it's not that it's a very niche genre, but maybe if you're a standard heavy metal listener, it is a little bit maybe outside your comfort zone.
But I think it's like we always talk about a gateway, like gateway music that like sort of it's quite a small tunnel. You go from rock or rock music, like, you know, even like the old school pop punk, that sort of, and then you can transition into the heavier stuff.
Yeah.
So you might start listening to fucking Green Day and then move into like, generic bands, I know, but for the purpose of the example, you listen to Green Day and then you move into like maybe Sum 41 and then like Disturbed or System of a Down and then sort of into Slipknot.
It's a slippery commercial slope.
Yeah, exactly right. You know, that's a very generic popular tunnel, but you see what I mean? Like there is definitely a progression there. So I think when it comes to this stuff, we're sort of ignoring or haven't mentioned yet there are different sort of like patterns people can like paths people can take to get to that kind of like that so this sort of thing, or you know, because someone like really likes trance, then they hear something like Cell Dweller, which is I'll be fucking surprised if anybody knows him, but he's this guy that mixes like rock and trance and metal, and you'll sort of go, oh shit, okay, I can deal with like the clean vocals, the big rock sound, and then next minute you're like arse deep in Japan chords, you know what I mean?
As we are. And since we're talking about it as well now, another band that has this really intense kind of keys, trance feel is Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. And their lyrics are also a little bit all over the plot lyrics. Their vocalists are a little bit all over the place with, you know, screams and bits and pieces and heavy auto-tune. And like we said, there's plenty of bands that I haven't heard of in this metal, Japanese metal. Like, have you heard of X Japan? I feel like I have heard of those. And Baby Metal.
Like X. Baby metal. X is in the letter X?
Yes, letter X Japan.
Baby Metal I've also heard of,
Yeah.
Oh, that's another one of those bands that people like, I'm a metalhead, and they go, oh, do you like this? And I'm like, no. The vocals are shit. Why would I want to listen to that? And they're like, oh, it's not that bad. I'm like, look, the beast is great, but like, I'm not going to listen to someone's kid sister scream at me. Like, that's a bit weird. I mean, look, good on them. They're doing something really cool, and best of luck to them. But yeah. No.
Better than us.
Not your thing. Not your thing. I think with this, with what we call electronical, what's the word I used? Animetal. So anime and metal. I think it just works really well.
Just, you know, yeah, I can see this on the start of some anime shows.
Yeah. Yes. And well, even if you look at the cover art for this song.
Yeah.
It's got like clearly got and this anime vibe. Video game.
Vibes. Yeah, vibes.
Yeah. Shut up.
This song makes me feel like I'm headed towards an end boss in like Dragon Ball Z.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
No, that's the first thing I thought it was Dragon Ball Z when I heard this song, you know. But back to my point and elaborating what you said earlier about the
just quickly, Crystal Lake is another one.
Crystal Lake,
Crystal Lake.
Yeah,
they're huge. Oh, okay. And what was it? The band that came to Soundwave, like they had.
Oh, Crossfade.
Crossfade. Yeah. I don't know that they're Japanese. I know Crystal Lake.
They are. Yeah.
Yeah, they are Japanese as well. So they have like that definitely a like sort of more generic kind of metal.
When we
like,
think about it, there's actually quite a bit of a quite a bit of a scene in Japan.
Oh, dude, like Crossfade played one of the opening sets at Soundwave, the one that Metallica played where they had the ANZ stadium for it as well, whatever that fucking was. Yeah, I think that was
a huge one, yeah.
So Crossfaith, because like, you know, you get there, you don't want to jump in the pit straight away. You want to maybe get 300 litres of water into you and some sunblock.
And by water, he means pills and beer.
No, water.
That's not Soundwave, man.
Soundwave is like, I hate drinking at festivals and shows. I just have this weird sort of straight edge thing about it. But anyway, we're all sitting in the cheap seats just going, yeah, like, well, you know, we'll get into it. Like, sort of watch a couple of bands. Crossfaith came on and I don't know what it was. They pulled a fucking monster crowd. Obviously, you don't not get as big as Metallica did later that day in the ANZ Arena. They had a huge crowd. So then, after that, they were basically like, all right, we're going to do a Japanese stage next year, which I don't know that he ever did, but they, you know, they've come back to Australia a few times and I've gone and seen them once or twice and they're just fucking unreal.
Yeah.
Like they've got their own very, like, it's just their own style. It's still got a lot of the elements of metalcore, but, you know, they pull a really big crowd and they just have a good live show. And Crystal Lake's the same as well.
Okay.
So,
yeah. And these guys obviously aren't a Japanese band, but I think they sort of fit into this category pretty well, the similar style of music. Dragon Force, man. Like, it's power metal, with the electronic element applied to that as well. It just gives it that video game feel, you know? Sort of makes you feel like you're living inside a video game.
I can hear all the power metal fanboys just like cringing, going, ugh, Dragon Force sucks. Have you noticed that? They get so much hate. From like,
do they?
What do you call like purists? Yeah. A lot of purists don't like it.
Because they sold out, maybe.
I don't know. Like, I wish I could play guitar or drums that fucking well.
Oh, yeah.
They're probably just a bit butthurt because they got famous from Guitar Hero. But, you know, it worked.
Yeah, hey, fuck, you know, if it works, it works.
And tell you what, like, Herman Lee and the other guys from Dragon Force.
Sam Tottenham's his name.
Yeah, and they've got, you know, they've got some of the most talented musicians within that group in the world, right?
Yeah, so. And Ryu from this band has a similar style to them, I think.
Yeah.
With the way he plays and all the crunchy riffs. But this kind of music, you know, we're saying you can't
come back to haunt me.
You can't understand what they're saying, man. That must be right up your alley. You must love this song because you're just like, fuck, I don't even know what he's saying. Don't what he's talking about. I just love the music.
That's
like you don't even feel pressure to listen. We put this on a list, and you're like, sweet, don't even have to worry about the lyrics. No worries.
No pressure to pay attention to what's going on. I'm just lost in the crunchy riffs, man.
Next person to say crunchy riffs is
yeah, he has to take a week off.
Yeah. it's really good. It's tasty riffs all the way through, man. Okay. it's awesome. Like it's really cool. And
you're just like a salesman. When you come into the podcast, you just say, yeah, it's a great song, you should buy it, you should listen to it. It's great.
I've given a few songs that not so good rap. Come on.
Yeah, fair
enough. I gave a 6 last week. That's the lowest I've given.
What's the lowest you've given on this?
6, yeah.
Was that it?
Fuck you and all your friends.
Yeah.
It's the lowest I've given.
Joel gave something at 2.
I think that's the song he put on.
I put on Hang the Mason.
Oh,
he gave it a 2.
Okay.
I love Hang the Mason.
Yeah. That's like one of your favourites. It was Spiders. Yeah, Hang the Mason's like one of your favourite songs. You're like, nah, hard 2.
Because it's the bangers list and we got bangs out of 10.
Yeah.
If you're not banging, you're not going to get any bangs.
Well, I just rate the song for what it is, but yeah.
I wanted to start the MVP conversation. I don't think there is one. I think just the whole band, it's just this wall of fucking everything. You know what I mean? It's just one big overloading sound and everything works really well together to just confuse the fuck out of you.
Yeah.
So I'd say MVP goes to the whole band.
Oh, well, that's a little bit shit. It's not most valuable band.
No, but P rhymes with B.
Oh.
If you just like copy and pasted the little bit and put it on the bottom of the P, it'd be a B.
Most valuable band this week.
I'm not selling this well. If I had to pick one, I'd say the guitarist.
Yeah, I was going to say the same because he's been there for so long, but at the same time, this is fuck controversial. It's just the keyboard in this one that really carries it through, and what you know caught my attention because it was so different to what I'd listen to usually. It's just like there's so much happening, so intense vibes.
I'm gonna push you over, eh?
Well, it's the keys that really give it that make it what it is. It turns it from being a more traditional kind of metalcore kind of song into to the electronic or animetal, if you will.
Yeah, you know what else is sick? Bands that have a like an instrument, like a violin or a flute.
Yeah,
like,
I love that.
Yeah, like that mixes it up heaps.
Right, sidetrack, but speaking of bands that use stuff like that, I don't know how I came across it. I was in a YouTube hole. I came across a live clip from a band called Flesh God Apocalypse.
Yeah, sick.
And they're extreme metal. It's like just blast beats, like shredding on the guitars. Yeah. And then they had like live, they had like an 8-piece orchestra with them.
That's sick.
Dude, like it was hectic. Like look them up because they're fucking nuts. I was just sort of overloaded going like the fuck. Like I know it blast, you know, a lot of that Euro like death metal is blasting constantly and shredding like, you know, 18 string guitars. And then off to the side, they've just got all these really nicely dressed like orchestra just going hammer and tongs on violins. And there's a guy with cymbals and it's a fucking all, it's like, Quite an experience to watch.
That's contemporary music, I think.
Yeah. In the European scene. So, you know, you have those elements like the keys or the orchestral, and like every fucking band's doing a tour with an orchestra these days. Well, not everyone, but a lot of them. I think it's a good idea because it just gives a really nice flavor to the music.
So, if you're into that?
Yeah, if you're into that. If not, fucking guitar, bass, drums. No worries. Yeah. Keep it real. No cleans, just screams all day. Breakdowns, weird.
Do you think a song needs both these days? What's better? No screams, half cleans, all cleans?
Depends on the band.
I'm biased because Polaris is my favorite band and they have a singer who can scream and do cleans and a bass player that does cleans.
Ooh.
Yeah. They've got 3 different vocal styles at their disposal.
So the more the merrier for you. See, that's bizarre. Some people would just say, purists maybe just scream all the time.
I still don't mind that either.
Mm.
You know, like killing with a smile, no cleans at all.
Exactly. Speaking of Twitter and songs, people keep sending us your songs. We love it. Anyway, that's all.
If anyone who knows Japanese, if they can interpret some of the lyrics for us, that'll be great. Let us know.
Yeah. I'll ask Ryu in.
Or if you've really got to Google, we're all apparently pathetic amateur.
I got to page 2 and I'm like, nah, I'm done.
You scrolled down that far? Page 2. I've got a big computer monitor at home. It loaded a lot of search results. I looked at the first 4 and went, nope. Couldn't find anything.
Oh, dear. So MVPs then. So you
think MVP, I'd say the guitars.
Okay.
I said keys. You said
keys. Oh, I'm going to have to agree with Joel on this one. I think the keys make it what it is.
It does add a nice flavour to it, doesn't it?
I'm glad we could agree that something that makes a band stand out is what is their best asset.
As much as I love, like I could listen to those crunchy riffs all day.
That's it. Get out. You're out. You're sitting out next week.
It's like, you know, it's like I'm in a bowl of cornflakes and all the cornflakes are just riffs, man.
If you said Cocoa Pops, that would be better because you said, you know, just like a chocolate milkshake, always early crunchy. That would have been better.
If I had my time again, can we edit that?
Just do cereal jokes for the next
10 minutes. All right. But, you know, I could get lost in those riffs all day. They're amazing. The guitars work tremendously well together. And, you know, it's got all those elements that you really, that we love. You know, the guitars, they're playing, you know, a combination of great thrashy riffs and real technical riffs as well. And then working together, getting some guitar harmonies together.
It's same, but different.
That's what I'm hearing. Yeah, and I think they're all fantastic, but it's that element of the keys that makes a difference.
Yeah, sorry. I think it's almost fair to say, this is a big call. Just stylistically, look at Slipknot, right? They've got so many things going on all at once, but nobody's trying to stand out. Everyone that's not the lead singer, they all work in like a beautiful harmony to bring you a unified sound.
Wow, that's music in a nutshell.
And I think that they do this as well because the keys or the synth, when it's not the centerpiece, but musically it's the centerpiece. The guitars are like, yep, we'll just sit in behind ya, have some chords or, you know, some minor riffing, but they're not trying to stand out. Yeah. But then he, you know, goes to solo and it stands out then. So I think they work well together.
Good balance.
Yeah, you do hear sometimes bands where the way a song's rolling, everyone's trying to stand out and it just sounds shit.
Yeah. They work well together and the culmination is just, it all comes together nicely. But another one, when you're speaking of that, speaking of, you know, bands that work really well together with no one particularly standing out, Mastodon. Have you guys listened to Mastodon much?
No, but I know they're like sort of grungy, heavy metal.
Sort of they're stuff. They're more like proggy metal. Yeah, okay, yeah. But they've gone a bit more kind of less proggy approach these days. But still, at the core, they're still Mastodon. But they've got they're a 4-piece band. Three of them do lead vocals. They share the load. So they've got the drummer who has like probably the cleanest voice.
Well, he sings. The drummer sings as well.
The drummer sings. Yeah, he's one of the lead vocalists. Then you got Troy on bass, who has a kind of more raspy sort of Julian voice, right?
So like
gravel swallowed voice.
40 Long Beach blues every day since I was 18.
and then the lead guitarist, who has a richer, more bluesy sort of tone, yeah, right? Okay. And so they share the load depending on what the song calls for as to who takes the lead with the vocals. And they can all sing really well. And that's just the vocals. Like their musicianship, like with their instruments as well, is fantastic too. Like Brand's a phenomenal drummer and he doesn't overdo it either. Like, you know, there are other guys, like the bass is amazing, yeah. Great sounding bass, the guitars, you know, obviously, the riffs. What are you looking at, mate?
He's like, all right, guys, I'm just going to sell Mastodon to the
I've got to paint the picture here, man.
I got asked to do an audition a few months ago for a band and they wanted me to learn a bunch of Mastodon songs and I listened to Mastodon and to be honest, I was like, fuck that, because I appreciate what you're saying. That doesn't appeal to me at all. But again, it's one of those personal things. But it's just the point you're getting at fundamentally is that they work really well.
They work really well together, and there's no particular person. There's no one front man that wants to stand out
more
and lead the way. It's like, this is, we are Mastodon, and it's like, we are Slipknot. We are
Bloodstained Child.
Bloodstained Child.
Yeah, but now Bloodstained Child, we are Bloodstained Child. We have no keyboard player. Where do we fit in?
You look so upset. That's it. Like, just so despondent.
Do you guys know any other songs by this band? Because I've listened to them.
You tell us.
I've got one from the Idolater record called Hypersonic.
Yep.
And you can probably appreciate why I was attracted to it. They got another one called True Blue.
Wow.
Yeah. 15-year-old me. Yeah, fuck yeah, Australia. You know? So I would say Hypersonic because it's cool. Sort of their roots. It's still got a bit of that synthy kind of stuff, but.
Male or female vocalist in that song?
Given the females. I'm a lot more female unclean vocals are a lot more prevalent these days, which I think is fucking mint. I don't know, but I'm 90% sure that it would be a male vocalist. I think I looked him up at the time and it was a guy. Not that it really fucking matters, but it was just the one vocalist.
Different vibes.
One unclean. Oh, fucking kid. Fuck off.
Because there's something I was going to say, like, this band has been through some evolution, some changes in sound. They've had like female singers, male singers, blah, 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 blah. A song called Stargazer, it's probably my favorite. It's like one of my guilty pleasures. It's just a, one female lead singer the whole time, no screams, plenty of, you know, the keys and the guitars and stuff. It's weird for me to say I like that song. I wouldn't admit that anywhere.
Hopefully, except on the internet.
Hopefully none of our listeners like see me in public and go, yeah, a bit weird for you, loser.
But it's exactly good. What goes
personal preference.
All those listeners that see you walking on the street, yeah.
It's like, hey, that guy. That's an asshole.
It's that business guy. Yeah.
I've no way of knowing what he looks like, but that's him.
That's the guy who waves his hands all the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know a lot of their. I have heard some of their songs, but I don't know them by name, so I can't really provide some examples. Can't be great help there, but I can name a few other songs from other bands that kind of that came to mind. We've already talked about Nightwish and Amaranth. And we will get to Amaranth at one stage as well. Ooh, that'll be a good one to do. But in terms of doing a podcast on them. But I'd say a couple of songs and other bands that came to mind. Six by All That Remains.
Why? That doesn't have keyboards.
No. I'm not talking about the keyboards, but the guitar melodies at the start. So, you know, we talked about there's a lot of kind of crossover with these and that sort of that transition you can go through to get to these genres and those influences or those, you know, the, that path you can take to listening to this kind of music, those transitions, right? That's
fair point.
That's I think if you were to take like the keys out of it and just sort of listen to the guitars, you can hear a lot of similarities between Ollie Herbert's work R.I.P. Ollie, but in All That Remains, six, and especially in that main intro riff. You know the one, Joel? Mm-hmm. Do you know the song, Julian?
Nah, because I listen to good music.
Oh,
really? It's just tremolo picking, really. It's very fast.
But the guitar melodies that come through there. And
similar vibes.
Sin in the Sentence by Trivium.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got that.
That's another song with no keyboard, kind of right?
Yeah.
No trance. So what you're saying is you just cut out the keyboards and this band sounds like all your Westernized metal bands.
Oh, look. Well, there are elements there.
Like Trivium-esque. It's not groove metal, like Devil Driver, but it's that modern day straight up heavy metal.
Yeah. Thrash.
Yeah, heavy thrashy sort of metal. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of those bands are sort of known for. Mm-hmm. So I always get All That Remains confused with As I Lay Dying. Because fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Fuck him large.
Yeah.
It's good that the rest of the band have success again, but yeah, fuck that dude, like Joel said the other day. Anyway, the most pertinent part, I don't know, I'm yelling, I'm watching the graph over here just fucking bounce up and down. The most pertinent part of the podcast, aside from Joel editing my screaming out, I just want to give Joel a shout out here. He actually spends a meticulous amount of time doing his the very low rent but quite talented or Audacity editing, because Daniel speaks at about 3 decibels and I speak about 300.
And meticulous is a way to measure time.
That's right. No matter how far away these guys move them, because we got 3 mics here, no matter how far away they move the mic from me, I still manage to yell and just top the DPS charts in decibels. So
decibels per second.
Decibels per second, that's right. Gamer jokes. Anyway, the bangs. I'm not going first because I'm going to shit on this. So you've got to
use it. Okay, I'll go first if you like.
I'll give it an edgy 8 out of 10 before you say anything.
Okay.
I just like the vibes. So,
good keyboards.
I'm leaving.
I do enjoy the song. And like we said, the fact I didn't have to even think about what the lyrics were was great for me. I could just get lost in it. So
that's a big one for you, isn't it?
Some really crunchy riffs throughout. There's the door.
We really latch onto the joke and then kill it.
I'm going to give it. I'm going to give it.
As long as it's at somebody else's expense, then yeah. As long as it's not happening to you, then you just fucking ruin someone's day with it. Ugh. Like, I'm going to go home and just lie down in my bed and scream.
I'm going to give it 7.5.
Seven and a half.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's like one. That's a half less than you.
You must love it. See, that's the point of this playlist: sharing songs
that you wouldn't otherwise listen to, and then be like, yeah, that was all right. Yeah.
That's how all right it was.
You're looking at me.
It's your turn.
We want something, mate.
Four.
Whoa. Someone doesn't like keyboards.
No, I'm actually going to give it a 5.
Ooh.
The breakdown isn't really a breakdown, and that's what we're all about here, is bangs and breakdowns. No, look, I don't mind it. I absolutely would not listen to this stuff normally because it sounds too happy, and I just like being sad all the time.
How millennial of you? Okay, boomer.
No, we're the generation that listened to like Early Than Biscuits, so we're like slightly Gen X but slightly Gen Y and just really pissed off about the whole thing because everyone's like, oh, fucking millennials. And you're like, I'm 29. Leave me alone, all right? I don't say YOLO.
Oh, that's the, yeah.
Yeah, that's the hallmark, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, 5. Look, they're great. They know what they're doing. It's just not for me. But I think, like I said earlier, they operate really well. So, yeah.
Anybody got any good stories then? Because otherwise we're going to have to go home.
I think I've seen Maximum the Hormone once, and that was really weird.
Yeah, nice.
And I think these guys are a bit similar to them.
Oh, fuck, that reminds me of a story. Thanks.
What was the story you had the other night that you never told us?
Everyone's been waiting. The thing was, I can't remember who I was with or what the go was, but a taxi driver on the Gold Coast said he took girls to a really fancy hotel where Justin Bieber was staying, and they'd all have to, like, sign an NDA before they could go and have sex with him, and he took, like, sets and sets of girls there every night. Like, he did, like, 6 trips to this hotel dropping girls off to Justin Bieber or some shit. Is that fucking weird?
What? That was fucking very... I was like, wow, we were talking about, like, people that are assholes. People are
assholes. And I was like, yeah. He's just having heaps of sex.
Like, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Weird.
I think, like, in the 15 minutes that that kid, little fuck's been alive, he's already done, like, more drugs than anybody in rock ever. Except maybe Ozzy Osbourne, so he's probably fried his brain. So he maybe just wants them to like face away from him and do a human pyramid in the corner and just not speak for like 16 hours and then leave. You know what I mean? But fuck him.
Fuck him. I hope he gets his sore back. Fuck
him. Yeah. I can't believe what that conversation devolved into. Do you have any stories? I got another one.
You go.
I remember seeing Bring Me the Horizon years ago and they had playing under like a tent, a marquee as it were. And someone threw a flare into the crowd.
Yeah, I remember that.
You remember? So
I was there for that.
I was there with one of your good mates. It landed really close to us. I remember a girl screaming and yelling and I think it burnt the shit out of her arm. And then some crazy guy jumped through the crowd, screamed and yelled, picked up this flare and threw it onto the top of the marquee. And Bring Me the Horizon is still playing this whole time and it's burning a hole in the marquee. It falls through onto the stage. And they didn't miss a beat. There's just a flare, like, going off on the stage. I think,
they tried to put it out. And
he just
goes, I think we might be off here.
Yeah. I just remember the flare blowing shit. I was so close. It was really massive, like a fire. It was hot.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Metal. Is that it?
That's it, I think.
Thanks for listening, everybody. As I always say, talk to us on Twitter. Keep those songs coming. I think we've got one coming up from a fan in a couple of weeks. Very excited to talk about that one. Otherwise, we will talk to you all soon. Thank you.
Goodbye.
Later.
Peace.
Peace. Do you want to say something?